check. I'm glad his pulpit's big. You can't see my knees knocking. But it is, I mean this with all seriousness. This is one of the highlights of my ministry. God's along the way let me preach from a lot of men I truly look up to. And I look up to your pastor and his dear wife. Great people, great preacher. So you won't hear nothing special tonight. What can I preach? He probably ain't already preached, right? But I am. My name's Heath Wells from Welcome Baptist Church down in Union, South Carolina. My pastor's Robert Jarvis, and I can go on all day and tell you what he's meant to me and my family. And my wife couldn't make it tonight because she had prior obligations at our church. I'm just thankful that the Lord opened the door for me to come, and the Lord put a message on my heart tonight. I just feel like that's where the Lord's leading me tonight. And my dear brother and his wife, when you was over to the other church, you may have heard this message. I don't know, but I think Paul said something to this effect. He said, it's one thing I say again. So, and it's all right, right? If the Lord put it on my heart, I'm going to preach it, right? And I thank the Lord for it. But if you got your Bibles tonight, you turn to Psalms 116. Get my phone out so I can keep up with the time. Yeah, I no pressure. I was already nervous, all right? I had a message in the pastor. Am I on? Well, he's been gone off? It might be dead.
Go ahead. I'll get you hooked. Just go ahead and talk in a little.
I was already nervous. Your pastor come over and said, hey, we try to be done by 8 o'clock. And I was like, oh, Lord. Lord, help us. Now, some of y'all may know this, but now I'm starting to feel like Burnt Riddles with my message. I got a long way to go, but a short time to get there. You know what I mean? Oh, me. Lord help us, all right? But if you got your Bible, say amen. You got your word, Lord wants us tonight, Psalms 116, you say amen, okay?
Amen.
Amen. We begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, I love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Love the Lord. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, he sure is. And righteous, yes, he is. Yet our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, and my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly am I thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you for the good day, Lord. And thank you for your many blessings of life, how good you are to us, Lord. Lord, I'm so unworthy of this opportunity, Lord, but thank you for opening this door. Thank you for this dear pastor and his friendship, Lord, what it means to me. Lord, I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. Lord, you make it easy on me to preach tonight, Lord. You know I'm nervous, Lord. I pray you just calm my nerves. Lord, we sure love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. As we come to this psalm in God's word, in Psalms 116, It's referred to as a hallelujah psalm. If you'll go back to Psalms 112 through Psalms 118, outside of Psalms 114, are referred to as hallelujah psalms.
It means praise the Lord. It means give praise or to express praise or joy and thanks unto the Lord. If you read them, you'll find out the Bible says in most all those psalms, they either start like this. Praise ye the Lord in Psalms 112. Praise ye the Lord in Psalms 113. In Psalms 115, you'll find it. He's praising the Lord. In Psalms 116, here he's praising the Lord. In Psalms 117, oh, praise the Lord. In Psalms 118, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, I just want to come here. I'm going to tell you what's on my heart. I just want to come here tonight, and I just want to brag on him, okay? If anybody deserves to be praised, it's the Lord, right? He said, he is worthy of our praise and honor, right? But I find something, listen to me, I understand something. I know we live in dark times. I understand that. It's dark. I mean, when our government thinks it's okay for a boy to go into a girl's bathroom, we're living in dark times. When they think it's okay now for a young man who the age of 8 or 9 years old to have a change to be a girl, that's some dark times, wouldn't you say? We're living in some dark times. I want to tell you, it's very dark out there. But I find something so disturbing. It seems like churches that I go to and messages that I hear, I hear a renounding, I don't know, sense of, that's all they talk about. He talk about how dark the times are. They talking about the times. They talking about the anxiety instead of the Savior. They're talking about the times instead of the throne. Right? They're talking about the problems of the world instead of praising and worshiping. We're living in some dark times. But I want to tell you, our God is to be praised. No matter how dark it is, no matter how dangerous it becomes, our God is still worthy to be praised. My Bible still tells me he's still altogether lovely. My Bible still tells me he's still the lily of the valley. My Bible still tells me he's still the rose of Sharon. My Bible still tells me he's still the rock of my salvation. My Bible still tells me he's still the good shepherd. My Bible still tells me he is the chief shepherd. My Bible still tells me he's still the anchor of my soul and the author and finisher of my faith. And the Bible still tells me he's the one true living God. And besides thee, there's none else. And he deserves to be praised no matter how dark, no matter how dangerous it becomes. God deserves to be praised. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be praised. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalms 136, 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He's good, for his mercy endures forever. It didn't stop when it got dangerous. It didn't stop when it got dark. No, his mercy and his goodness endures forever. He will take care of his people. Psalms 150, 1 through 2 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That word excellent means it can't be improved upon. It's complete. He's excellent great. The God we serve is great. He's good. His mercy endures forever. Psalms 41:1 says this, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The word greatly means a considerable amount. It means very much. It means to a great extent. I find myself sometimes, I get my eyes on everything that's going on out here in the world, everything that's going on in my life, and I begin to forget that I'm called through Scripture to praise Him greatly. If the church would just get back to praising Him like we should, there's no telling what would happen. The Bible says this, that He inhabits the praise of His people. You want God to show up around here? You want God to walk around here? Morning Star Baptist Church. Start praising Him. Start honoring Him. Start adoring Him. And God will show up. Yes. We have that promise through Scripture. Yes, sir. I'm trying to preach fast to get done. The Bible says in Psalms 113:3, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. To be praised. As we should praise Him. It seems in our text, I don't particularly know the whole background of what's going on in this text, but it seems in our text that the psalmist is going through some kind of difficulty, some trial or some trouble. And I want to tell you this Christian life, I'm going to tell you something. It's been said, you're either going into a storm or you're coming out of a storm. You're going to face hardships. You're going to face trials. The Bible says we shouldn't count it strange when the fiery trials come upon us, right? James says, hey, we ought to count it all joy when divers temptations come upon us, right? We're going to go through hardships. We're going to go through tough times. The Bible says this, it rains on the just and the unjust. Things are just going to happen to me and you. Matter of fact, Paul put it like this in the book of Philippians. He says, it's been given to us not only to believe on Him, that's salvation. Salvation is a gift, right? We understand it from the Bible. But he didn't stop there. But to also suffer for His name's sake. So if I understand my Bible correctly, salvation is a gift. But also suffering is. Because God can mold us and God can make us. And He can work in us and make us what He wants to be if we'll just yield to Him in those hard times of life. He's going through some difficulty. He says this in this chapter, he says this in verse number 7. It says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. The word rest, I mean, return here means his spirit is not in the place that it once was. It's not where, he's not at the place that he once was at. Listen now, I left my house to come here. Lord willing, after service, I'll return to the place I was. He's longing to get back to the place that he was with the Lord. Yes, sir. Hey, I don't know if you're struggling. I have no idea what you're going through. But in your heart, you're longing to get back to where you was with the Lord. Amen. He says, return unto my rest, O my soul. But this is why. This is what he says. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He says, I can be at peace. I can be at rest. Why? For the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. You know what? It's like in the midst of this hardship, in the midst of this trial, whatever's going on in his life, it's like he stops for just a minute and he sits down and he begins to look back over his life. And he begins to think about maybe when God brought him through when he fought the lion. Maybe when God brought him through when he fought the bear. Maybe when God helped him when he went with his son Absalom. Maybe when God helped him with the Goliath. I don't know, but he began to look back over his life and he's seen how good God has been to him. And he said, you know what? I can be at peace. I can be at rest because God has been good all the way in my life. God's been good in my life. The word bountiful means it means to give freely, liberally, bestow gifts, favor, and generous. You know what David's saying here? He says, I can be at peace. I ain't got to worry about it. God has brought me this far. He's not going to leave me here. He's going to see me through. I can be at peace. He's reflecting back over his life. I want to tell you something. God wants you and I to remember how good He's been to us. 148 times in your King James Bible, you'll find the word remember. God wants us to remember how good He's been. When I look back over my life, I have to say like David, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It has followed me all the days of my life. You got to understand where He found me. You got to understand what God saved me out of. My life was a wreck. I was nothing but a bomb. I was a terrible person. I mean, if God did not intervene in my life on that Friday night in December 2003, I'll either be in jail, and every preacher says that, but I'm telling you, I'll either be in jail or I'll probably be in hell. And that's the honest God truth. My life was terrible. God swooped in that place that night, and He saved me, and He changed my life. There's a song that we sing down at Welcome Baptist Church, and it goes like this. Every morning, when I wake to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things He's done. He meets my every need. You know He means. You know He's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. That's what I want to preach on tonight. I can't help but to praise the Lord for all He's done. When David starts looking back over his life and how good God's been, he begins to tell himself, I can be at peace, I can be at rest, I can calm down because God has been faithful. I love what Miss Rochester said one time. I think it was down at Welcome Baptist Church. She maybe during the preacher's jubilee. She made a statement. She says, I've failed more times than I've been faithful. But He's been faithful more times than I've failed. Amen. Amen. That's good. I don't know. That's good right there. He has been faithful more times than I've failed. When he begins to look back, first thing I want you to notice tonight is the declaration of his affections. The declaration of his affections. The first thing he says in verse number 1, I love the Lord. Before he wrote anything else, before he said anything else, he just said, Lord, I want you to know that I love you. When's the last time that you got before him and you didn't ask him for anything? You didn't ask him to meet a need. You just bowed your head. You came before him and just said, Lord, I'm simply coming for you tonight or coming for you today. And I just want to tell you that I love you. I mean, what father don't love to hear his children say, I love you? Right? My son, my daughter. I mean, I love when they talk to me. I love it. It still thrills my soul. But then those times my son would come to me out of the blue and he'd say, Daddy, I love you. Melts my heart. I get a text message from my daughter and he simply says, Daddy, I love you. You know how that makes me feel? Hey, you wonder what it makes him feel. David said, I love you, Lord. I love you. The word affections means fondness, endearment. We should lift our voices and say it far and wide, Lord, that we love you. That's what he wants. That's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to love him with all our hearts. The Bible says in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and all thy mind. Listen to me now. Don't fall out with me. He's not interested in your time. He's not interested in your talent. He's not interested in your treasure. He is interested in your heart. Because he has your heart, he'll have your time. He'll have your treasure. He'll have your talents. He's interested in you loving him. David said, Lord, I just want to tell you, before I say anything else, Lord, I just want to tell you tonight that I love you. Listen, someone who is not told they are loved and showed their love will sooner or later feel like they're unimportant to you. Right? Anybody been married a long time? I have been 17 years this year. I mean, to be honest with you, you know how men are sometimes. We go through spaces. We're just not affectionate. I just don't bust out and say, I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. My wife had to remind me, you know, sometimes y'all tell me you love me. Maybe feel that I'm important. You know what? Maybe tonight, the Lord's speaking to somebody's heart and just saying, listen, sometimes I want you to tell me you love me. So I know that I'm important to you. We see the decoration. It's okay for me to come down here. I forgot about the camera, brother. I'm sorry. We see the decoration of affections. I'm going to skip on, but you know what Jesus, you know what the Lord said? You know what he said? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, it'll show up in your life. It just won't be lip service. It'll be borne out through your life. And the Bible talks about that. There's many that draw close to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I think it's in Deuteronomy where the children of Israel, they said, Moses was speaking to them, and they said, oh, God, we're going to live for you. I'm paraphrasing. We're going to live for you, and we're going to serve you. You know what God said? Oh, I wish that there was a heart in them to love me and do, I'm paraphrasing, what they say they're going to do. God is interested in your heart. We see the declaration of his affections. Why did he love the Lord, preacher? Why? We'll find right here in verse 1. Because he had heard his prayers. He had heard his prayers. Listen to me now. He says, I love the Lord because. This is why I love the Lord. This right here is why I love you, Lord. Now listen. I've been preaching now for about 10 years. I've been saved since 2003, so that's what, 20 years? 20 years. This December will be 20 years if I live that long. But listen to me. I came to my mind. I thought about it. I meditated on it for the life of me. I wrapped my head around why he loves me. There's nothing good in me to love. I can't understand it. But yet, while we were yet sinners, he commended his love toward you and I. But I want to tell you something. There will always be a because and why we love him. Always. We love him because he first loved us. He said, because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. The word he hath heard are past tense. These are prayers that he prayed in days gone by. These are things that he needed God to do in days gone by. He's rejoicing and he loves the Lord because in days gone by, God heard his voice, God heard his prayer, and God met those needs in his life. And he says, Lord, I just want to tell you that I love you because in days gone by, you've answered my prayers. I'm going to tell you now, I'm thankful for the prayers God's answered in my life. Listen to me now. I'm so thankful that I serve a God that hears and answers prayers. I can go come boldly to the throne of grace no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's going on in my life, and I can come boldly and beseech his face and ask him for help in a time of trouble. I'm thankful for that, ain't you? He's answered prayers. I'm thankful I serve a God who hears and answers prayers. The Bible says in Psalm 34:5, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. For the Lord, 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are all over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. I'm thankful for that, ain't you? Thankful. I'm thankful, listen to me now, I'm thankful that I have some relics of remembrance in my life. Something that stood the test of time, that reminds me what God has done for me in days gone by. Joshua chapter 4, God told Joshua, I want you to get 12 men, and I want you to go into the Jordan, and he said, I want you to get you 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan. And you're going to set them up on the banks for a testimony when your children ask, what do you mean by these stones? And you'll tell them how God brought you over on dry ground. So the Bible said it was a relic of remembrance. When the next generation will come, they'll look at it and say, what do these stones mean? And you'll be able to tell them what God has done for them. You ought to be some relics in your life. When those youngest come around and say, Daddy, what does this mean? You can be able to tell them, hey, God answered that prayer. I never forget. Matter of fact, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when God told them to get those 12 stones, they said, I want you to carry them. And them stones was going to be a testimony, right? Of what God has done. Carrying a testimony. You know, we got a testimony inside us. Been saved by God's grace, you got a testimony. You've been sealed with the Holy Ghost, you got a testimony of the Lord. You can't around with you. He said, when you get those stones, he said, I want you to take it to the place you lodge this night. That's what he told them. You know the very first place God told him to take that testimony to? He said, I want you to take it home with you. He said, I want you to take this testimony home with you. How's your testimony at home? Oh, we can be good in public, right? We can be good at the workplace. But how is it with your wife? How is it with your kids? Who are you when you're by yourself? It says this, and I believe with all my heart, a man will fall in private long before he ever falls in public. Who are you when you're by yourself? Who are you? It's been said this. It's been said, the light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. Who are we? He said they're going to sit that testimony up as a remembrance. What you mean by these stones? You ask them. God brought you over in dry ground. You know that testimony was going to represent? Simply, let me put it like this. It was going to be a testimony to say this, that God is able. That God is able. You know what the next generation needs to know? That God is able. You know what your youth here at Morning Star needs to know, needs to see? That God is able. You got any relics of remembrance that you can point them back to, that they can see? I'll never forget. The last 5 years of my mama's life, she was very bad sick. Now, I was a mama's boy. I'm trying to hurry. I probably ain't going to finish this message, but I was a mama's boy, okay? Love my mama. She got real bad sick, and the last 5 years, she was in and out of the hospital. She was on the ventilator several times. Well, the last time she went in was around November of 2010. And I began praying. Me and my wife were due with our first child on January the 1st. And I began praying, God, I know she's tired. I know she's weak. She's fought so hard. I said, but God, please, please let her live long enough to see my daughter. Please. The doctors gave up all hope. They pretty much told me and my daddy and my brother, she's not coming off this ventilator this time. I began praying, seeking the Lord's face. You know what? Around the middle of December, she started taking a turn for the better. She came out of the hospital January 10th. My daughter was born January 19th. I got a picture sitting on my computer desk where I study my Bible. And it's a picture of my mama holding my daughter. She died April Fool's Day, 2011. But I can't help but every time I look at that picture to remember the prayer he answered for me. Every time I show my daughter, I said, look, Kylie, it's a picture of your grandmama and you when you was a baby. She's holding you. Let me tell you what God did to make this picture happen. It's a relic of remembrance. He said, I love you, Lord, because you have heard my prayer. I got 3 minutes. Not only he loves the Lord because he heard his prayer, but he loves the Lord because he healed his pain. He healed his pain. Listen to what he said in verse number 3 of Psalms 116. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Verse number 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I don't know what was going on in David's life, but it seems he is brought to the place of almost certain death. I don't know what was going on. The crisis was deep, but we see the deliverance was great. I would love to sit down with some of you and just talk to you. Everybody meet some people in this building here tonight. If the Lord did not step in your life and touch you during a very sick time, you may not be here. Right? I think about that woman with the issue of blood. She tried every physician. She spent everything she had, and she was none better. I mean, no doubt them doctors tried their best to heal her and to help her, but the Bible says she was none better. But when she got to him, and she touched him, the Bible says she was made better. I'm so glad, listen to me now, I'm so glad when the daughters give up hope, when your family gives up hope, and when the medicine stops working, that the master can still work. Hey, some of you are living testimony, probably in this building, you know somebody, if it wasn't for the Lord stepping into their life and touching them, they would not be here today. He said, Lord, I love you. I can't help but praise you because you had healed my pain. I think about Jairus' daughter. I'm hurrying. Think about Jairus' daughter. She was lying at the point of death, and the Bible says he came to Jesus and he fell at his feet and besought him greatly. That means to plead. That means to beg fervently with passion. She was about to die. And she came before him. He came before and he was begging God, please, Lord. Please, Lord. Spare her. Heal her. Help her. And we know God answered that prayer. And I'm thankful that God answers prayers like that when we got loved ones that's physically sick. That we can go before him and sometimes he'll intervene. But let me tell you something. More importantly, we know a lot of people who are spiritually dead. Spiritually sick. When was the last time we went before the Lord and besought him greatly? Begged him with tears falling down our face. Lord, heal him. Lord, help him. Restore him. Save him for it's eternally too late. When's the last time we've done that? David said, Lord, I love you because you heard my prayers and you healed my pain. I better go on. I'll skip this. It's 8 o'clock. Skip it. We see the declaration of his affection. When he began to think about how good God has been to him, how good God has been, it motivates him and it compels him to do something. Can I ask you tonight, by a raise of hands, has God been good to you? God has been good to you. Look at this beautiful church he's given you. Me and the dear pastors, Brother Kerrigan's wife was talking about when I first come in. Beautiful, man. I stand in awe of what the Lord has done. He's been good to y'all. When he began to think about how good God has been to him, he's determined in his actions. It compels him. It motivates him to do something for the Lord. Listen to what he says here. Listen. These are personal pronouns. Listen. I will in verse 9. I will in verse 13. I will in verse 14. I will in verse 17. I will in verse 18. He's saying, Lord, you've done stuff for me, so I will do something for you. He's determined. What kept Apostle Paul going through everything he went through? I mean, the beatings, the shipwrecks, the hunger nights. I mean, the dangers he was in. Jail after jail, time after time. What kept him going? What kept him going? He said this, for the love of Christ constrained me. Why do I serve the Lord the way I do? Why am I serving so passionately? Why am I serving so faithfully? Why do I keep going when things get tough? Why have I turned my back on it? Because I can't get over how much he's loved me and what he's done for me. I'm just going to skip to the end, okay? I'm going to skip to the end. Seems that the psalmist has made up his mind. I'm skipping a bunch of the messages, but it's okay. I love that song. I've made up my mind no matter what others say. I will follow Christ and walk in his ways. Though the battle gets hard and the road is steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with him and raised a new life. Old things of this world I'm leaving behind because I've made up my mind. You know what the psalmist says after he gets them bragging and thinking about what the Lord's done? It's what he says in verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Listen, when we begin to think about what the Lord has done for us, and we should take time to think about it, it ought to compel us. It ought to move us to do some things for him. Right? So, the Bible says this. The Bible says this. David's an old man now. He says this in Psalms 37:5. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. You know what he was saying? God's been good. God's been good. I think about that song that we sing down to church every morning when I wait to see the sun. I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things he's done. He meets my every need. He's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. By God's grace, I'm going to praise him till my last breath. He's been good. Father, I do want to thank you for the time you've given us, Lord. I want to thank you for this dear church and this dear pastor, Lord, for allowing me to come preach to them tonight. Lord, I pray you take this feeble attempt of preaching, Lord. Lord, I pray you speak to hearts. Lord, we have everything to thank you for, Lord. Lord, I pray that this message will stir somebody's heart, Lord, to get determined, Lord, to get it settled that they're going to do something for you in the days ahead. Lord, I pray that your blessings will continue to flow on this church and this dear pastor. Lord, we sure love you and thank you for all everything you've done. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.